Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We are here with our week one predictions. With me today, I've got Tommy, Andrew, and a special guest, Elizabeth. How are y'all doing today?
We're good. Really?
Blink twice if you need help.
You do realize this is an audio podcast, right? There's no video involved.
Blink very loudly.
All right. Well, we're going to get right into it. We're going to start off. We've got quite a few games. Week one is probably the biggest week of the season. And so we've got quite a lot of large games to look forward to.
Hey, did you know that Alabama's playing USC?
You know, I learned that last night during the North Dakota State game.
Did you know that Clemson's playing Auburn?
Whoa.
Tigers on Tigers, man.
Apparently, and I was reading somewhere, apparently Auburn is doing an orange out against Clemson.
That's smart.
I mean, maybe the Clemson players will get confused.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would is Clemson.
Is it the away team wears the whites, or is it the...
Yeah, normally the away team will wear white. Oh. LSU and Georgia Tech are two teams that specifically have rule exemptions to allow them to wear white at home.
I was really hoping
they... as well, don't they?
I don't know. I know that the rule is you have to ask the away team permission to wear white. Most teams will grant it. I know that North Carolina State and Wake Forest are assholes because they don't allow Tech to wear white at home.
How nice of them. Anyway, we're getting a little off topic, so let's get back into it. Just for the record, for the sake of being a contrarian, all of the picks I make are going to be the teams I do not expect to win the game. So okay. Anyway, with that said, let's get into it. We're going to start with Oklahoma and Houston. Houston's one of the big dark horses. I think we've talked about that a fair bit. And Oklahoma is one of our premier picks to make it into the playoffs, maybe even possibly win the championship this year. So... Tommy, I want to know your thoughts. The Gunslingers at Houston versus just an all-around powerhouse in Oklahoma. Since they're not playing Boise State, Oklahoma actually has a chance of winning the game.
Yeah, I mean, Houston's definitely one of the teams out of the G5 to look at as the dark horse team. But, I mean, you're talking about taking the cream of the outside-looking-in crop versus the cream of the P5 crop. And there's a disparity there that I don't think Houston can overcome. If the game's close, I think it's close for the first half, and I think in the second half it kind of opens up. But Oklahoma wins, and it's not a question to me.
It's not even close? Wow. I mean, this is kind of a home game for Houston. They're playing in the Houston Texans Stadium. Andrew, do you think Houston has a shot?
No.
Wow. Right to the point.
I think my big thing is Houston's probably one of the most talented, if not the most talented, G5 teams. But the issue is Oklahoma is one of the most, if not the most talented, P5 teams. And I think that the running game of Oklahoma between Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine is just going to be too much for Houston to handle on defense. I think they're going to be able to run the ball down their throat. You're going to have the magician Baker Mayfield, who just seems to find ways to make plays with his arm and his feet. And it might stay close. You know, Houston might keep it close for a while, but I just don't see that there are enough horses at Houston to keep the game that competitive.
Okay, Elizabeth, I guess your thoughts are very similar?
No, actually, I think that because Oklahoma loses a lot of people on defense, that Houston's offense, which I don't think loses a ton of people, is going to really be able to work around that. And I think it'll become... you know, classic Big 12 style shootout where whoever scores the most points by the end of the game is the one who wins, not as much the team that gets the stops. Yes, thank you. I know. Quoting John Madden there.
Whoever gets the ball the most and gets it in the end zone will win the game. I like
whoever
that.
Most points is gonna
I
win.
Think whoever the last person to score is the team that wins. So
I would be interested in
drills to happen.
I would be interested to see some good kickoff returns because a lot of the time games like this will come down to two or three big kickoff returns, especially in the Big 12.
Special teams wins champions.
Special teams is special.
But do you really want champion? Wouldn't you rather have like Nike or somebody? Champion's not a very good sponsor. Anyway, I'm going to pick Houston because I think their air raid offense will work very well spread out against the Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's kind of going to struggle on defense a bit. Houston, the real trouble is they don't have a good defense, so kind of like Elizabeth said, it's going to come down to whoever scores last, and if a team can get enough turnovers to make an impact. So, yeah, I'm going to try my best to make the arguments for these teams that I don't think are going to win. But anyway, I'll give Houston the benefit of the doubt. Moving on, Clemson Auburn, the orange out, which was the brilliant decision by someone over there at Auburn. Auburn grads proving everything I ever thought about their intelligence levels to be absolutely accurate. I mean, I don't think any of us really expect much out of Auburn, and Clemson is one of the top programs in the country who don't really play anybody else on their schedule.
They play Florida State.
Well, okay, yeah, they got one game.
They play UNC, you know, in the ACC championship.
And they play Georgia Tech. Whoa.
She's just made
slow your roll, lady.
She's just made up her mind.
We'll talk about them in Georgia later. Just hold on.
Okay, so Andrew and Elizabeth, is there any way that Auburn will upset Clemson?
No.
Auburn's just named their starting quarterback, who everyone thought was busted on a drug charge. So.
And he's a professional snowboarder.
Apparently he's a professional. What?
Sean White.
Duh. Oh, yeah.
White tomato.
I was
like, years ago. God, way to age yourself.
He's a surfer now. Come on, Andrew.
Yeah, seriously.
Skateboarder.
Yeah, I think Clemson runs away with this one, and I think Auburn gets embarrassed, and I think the talk about Gus Malzahn being on the hot seat starts after week one.
You know, I've got to agree. I think Clemson's just too talented. I don't think Auburn's quite there yet. I think they have too many questions at quarterback. You know, they, like I said, they named Sean White, but the problem with these late quarterback contests is if Sean White comes in and falls apart, then who knows who you're going to throw in. If they throw Jeremy Johnson in, then the season's done anyway, because Jeremy Johnson may be the worst quarterback at a P5 program in the history of the game.
There's no way.
But I don't think it's that close. I think Clemson comes out and wins big. And like she said, I think it really does light a fire a bit under the Gus Malzahn hot seat.
Now, Clemson's biggest weakness is their secondary. But like you said, with the quarterback talent level at Auburn, I don't know that they are going to get challenged much. Tommy, you see anything we're not seeing?
No.
All right. Straight to the point. Nice and easy. Okay. So.
Did Auburn, Logan?
I kind of forgot about this game when I said that. See, right now I'm just trying. I'm not opposed to picking Auburn. I'm just trying to think of what bright point I can point out to say that they could actually stand a chance of winning this game.
It's okay, you can be honest.
Like, it would have to be turnovers, and they would have to win. They would have to just get a ridiculous amount, and that's not going to happen because they're going up
against. Like Ole Miss did against Alabama last year.
The bright point for
Auburn, if they were in 2013,
is that they can start the season off without having Jeremy as their quarterback. They have the option to do
that. I thought they're bright.
I think the only way they win is if they're as lucky as they were in 2013, where they were just absurdly lucky.
I think the bright point is that they start off their season by not almost losing to an FCS team. They just lose to a really, really good team.
Or yeah. Cam Newton puts on a Sean White disguise and no one realizes there's a difference.
Isn't there like 6 inches in height difference?
Don't worry about it. No, they did pay him enough. Well, allegedly. Anyway, yeah. Yeah. I can't pick Auburn. So, we're gonna move on. LSU versus Wisconsin. I'm gonna try and do this justice. In the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, we've got these are two teams that have traditionally had fantastic running games. Obviously, the biggest question for LSU is at quarterback. We just don't know. Other than that, they've got a great defense. They're probably the only team in the West that's going to be a serious challenge for Alabama. And Wisconsin is looking to bounce back. They've got a lot of talent. They've kind of struggled as of recent, but this is a definitely a home game well away from the swamplands of Louisiana. So
that doesn't change it. Swamp people travel.
Well, they have to. It's all flooded down there.
Whoa. Bro.
Too soon.
Never too soon. All right, Tommy, what do you got?
You know, didn't Wisconsin take LSU's defensive coordinator?
The other way around.
Oh, the other way around. Oh, okay, yeah. So that's right, because LSU lost their defensive coordinator. yeah, I don't think that there's anything Wisconsin can do because I think LSU's defense is too talented to kind of really get any reasonable production. And then Leonard Fournette is a fully grown man. I think Leonard Fournette will win this game, or LSU's defense, and they have both.
Yeah, so I mean, do you really?
I don't see it being close. I think Wisconsin takes a step forward this year. I think they're on the right track, but this is not the game for them.
Yeah, LSU's only weakness is at quarterback, but do you really need a quarterback against this defense, Andrew?
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think Brandon Harris is really going to be the big question for LSU, is because, I mean, he's got Fournette in the backfield. He's got Malachi Dupree and great wide receivers around him. I think Dave Aranda may have been the best assistant hire of the offseason. He's a great young defensive coordinator. He's going to come into a utterly stacked cupboard of talent at LSU, and I think that's going to be more than enough for them to carry the game against Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin just named Bart Houston their starting quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see what they try to do. If they stick to the ground and pound that Wisconsin is like to do, I don't think they're going to be able to have any success against the LSU defense. They won't be able to run the ball. You know, I've seen nothing about Houston to give me any kind of sense that he can win the game on his arm. And I think the only way Wisconsin wins this game is just Harris absolutely collapses and just keeps turning the ball over. Other than that, I think LSU kind of walks away with it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, this will probably be the second year in a row that Wisconsin's embarrassed against an SEC team on College Game Day. Last year they got rocked by Alabama, and this year they're probably going to get rocked by LSU. I mean, LSU just has more experience, better defense, and has Leonard Fournette, which basically is a cheat code for running backs.
Bo Jackson and Tecmo.
Put that code in and just run it. Yeah. Now, that said, Wisconsin only gave up 268.5 yards per game last year on defense. So it's obviously a pretty good defense.
But they are replacing their coordinator.
Well, yeah. Are you saying it's going to be an inside job?
I mean, Aranda's going to have some institutional knowledge of having spent a couple of seasons going against a Wisconsin offense in camp, so maybe?
I'm gonna point to that quarterback issue, say that they get a couple of interceptions, and they pull the upset. The team that I really do not expect to win, they will pull the upset.
Like Auburn.
No comment. All right. Moving on. The game I'm actually going to be at in Ireland, Georgia Tech and Boston College. So
have a Guinness for me for breakfast.
I'm going to go to the Guinness factory. You want me to pick you up any, like, novelties?
Yeah. Just toss me a couple Guinness in the mail.
Become a certified Guinness pourer.
I just want to go to McDonald's and get a Guinness. Like, I don't even eat McDonald's. I just want to get a Guinness at McDonald's. All right, but anyway, Boston College, they really hung their hat on their defense last year because everyone on offense got injured miraculously. They were the number one defense in the country statistically, but keep in mind who they were playing against on that level. Meanwhile,
Florida State, Clemson.
And that's about it, right?
Well, they did. Give or take.
Louisville.
They did almost beat Florida State, if memory serves.
They almost beat pretty much every team but Clemson.
I think they beat USC last year, too.
No, that was the year before.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, so clearly there is talent there. It just depends on if it comes together and if they stay healthy. And Georgia Tech is on the opposite side of the spectrum, or they've got a lot of talent. They suffered very poorly last year due to terrible O-line play. Let's beat that over our heads again. But we're expecting a lot more out of them this year, and they've got great talent both on the defensive side of the ball and returning at B-back. Is that like a symbol for something, or is your...
No, my glasses are just messed up.
Okay. I'll turn it over to Andrew and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I remember you were asking the questions about how to live with a Georgia Tech graduate. Let's see if you've learned. What are y'all's predictions for the game?
Don't look at me like that. In case anyone was wondering, because this is in fact an audio podcast, he was just giving me the look of death that would consign me to a couch if I didn't pick Georgia Tech. So yeah, obviously I'm going to pick Georgia Tech because I know where my bread is buttered. And I will say that it will be a very interesting contest between a really good defense and a really good offense, and a really bad offense and a, sorry, really bad defense, like just being honest. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, who scores first and if that's like the only score of the game. I fully expect this game to be a 7-0 game. So just because I feel like one team is going to score and then that's the game.
Are we looking
no, so, first so, quarter and then we have to just watch three whole quarters of just a slogfest.
So we're looking at the
all Tech fans and all Boston College fans just get drunk.
We're looking at the Tampa what? Bay Georgia Tech the, versus yeah. Wake Forest matchup.
Well, no, it's not faith in the defense, it's lack of faith in the Boston College offense.
So, I can see potato, that. Potato. You know, I think the biggest questions are going to be, does the Boston College defense continue as good as they were they had to change defensive coordinators? Because the guy they had went to Michigan. You know, does Patrick Towles come in as the transfer from Kentucky and kind of jumpstart that offense? And then on the Georgia Tech side is, you know, does the O-line not regress to the level it did last year, as well as somewhat of depth and lack of injuries across the board? You know, Georgia Tech against North Carolina last year started two walk-ons at A-back. That's how bad the injuries got to the depth at the skill position. And then the Georgia Tech defense is can they get any kind of pressure with their front four? You know, they had to blitz a lot last year, which really hurt them in some of their passing efficiencies. But, yeah, I don't expect it to be a high-scoring game at all, you know, much more because of Boston College's solid defense and then their complete lack of offense. But, yeah, I think Georgia Tech can pull it out, especially if the offensive line plays great. I think that puts them in a chance to score enough points to win the game.
I like the comparison we got to the Wake Forest Georgia Tech ACC championship. It's going to be a 6-9 game.
Why are we talking about that game? It was raining. It was cold. No one was any good.
Well, Ireland.
Rainy and cold, and no one's any good.
Is it raining in Ireland as much as it does in England?
Yes.
No. Okay, makes sense.
All right, Tommy, what are your thoughts?
I think that this is going to be a Georgia Tech victory. 24-21. I think both offenses will fire reasonably well, and I think that it's the first game of the season. You're going to see the mistakes on both sides of the ball, but I don't think that stops people from scoring. I think this will be a reasonable amount of a shootout when they get towards the end. Maybe in the beginning it'll prevent, but I don't see a 7-0 or 3-0 type game. I see more of a 21-24 type game.
Yeah. Why do I regret my decision so much? Okay, Boston College wins on the strength of a ridiculous defense and a very strong running game. But I'm still going to cheer for Georgia Tech. All right.
Mine halfway around the world to go.
I'm fucking better. No. Where were you guys? Anyway,
yeah. Seriously. Look, those government salaries don't pay quite as good as the private sector.
Believe it or not.
Believe it or not, we're walking on.
don't get us caught, Andrew. We're not licensed to sing that song. All right, especially not with your voice and talent. Let's move on. My other team. We got Alabama and USC. So, if anybody doesn't know that Alabama is one of the most talented teams in the country, then they've been hiding under a rock for the past 10 years. And then USC in and of itself has kind of been in coaching limbo for the past 3 or 4 years. But as always, they are just stacked with talent because, hey, who doesn't want to go to Southern California to play football and to sleep with very pretty women? Tommy, I'll start with you. You've got ties to USC. Perhaps you know something we don't.
Yeah, so USC is bringing in a new coach with Clay Helton. I think he's got a smart idea, and he wants to try to run the power run game, and he's got a staple of backs to do that with Justin Davis and Ronald Jones. And then they've got Smith-Schuster, Juju Smith-Schuster, who is one of the better wide receivers in the country. So I think they're setting themselves up well to have success this year, but a power run game is not how you beat Alabama.
It's about it just to say.
Doesn't work that way. So, and not to mention, they're also going to be breaking in a new quarterback since Cody Kessler's gone now, and playing for the Browns, I think. But yeah, so wow. They're, as much as I want to pick USC, there's just too many replacements coming in. And then they're also changing their entire philosophy as a program with a new coach.
I feel sad for Cody Kessler now. I don't even care about the game anymore. I just feel bad for anybody playing for the Browns. All right. You hit the nail on the head, Andrew. Alabama, USC. Can USC take advantage of the fact that Alabama's traveling halfway across the country?
No, I think the big question is going to be a quarterback for Alabama. It's looking more and more likely that it's going to be the freshman Jalen Hurts. He's apparently come in and really taking control of the offense and the locker room, so it's going to be interesting to see how that kid does in his first start in a really big-time game. Because you know the Alabama defense is going to be great, and you're really not going to have a lot of questions there. And then, like Tommy said, USC's kind of trying to change a lot of what they do in their philosophy. I think a lot of that will hinge on do everything Adoree Jackson, you know, a kid who's a returner, plays on defense, and will even play on offense at times just to get the ball in his hands because he's such an athletic kid. I don't think USC wins. I think they might keep it close for a little bit, but I think the pure talent level that Alabama has outside of, again, much like we talked about in the LSU game, if the quarterback comes out and makes a ton of mistakes, then I could see it being close with USC having a shot. If the quarterback comes out for Alabama and takes care of the ball and they run the ball well, then I don't think it's going to be much of a game.
Elizabeth, any thoughts?
Well, you know, this is a rematch of, well, kind of a rematch of the 1970 game, Alabama versus USC, which was an all-white Alabama versus integrated USC that USC won, and people credit with changing the mind of Bear Bryant to start recruiting black players. However, I definitely think Alabama wins this. I think Alabama is just too talented. Nick Saban is just a hell of a coach. And I don't think USC, as someone put it, you know, a few championships does not a dynasty make, quite like Alabama has. And I just think Alabama's a better team all around.
Fair enough. Okay, so follow me on this one. So halfway through the game, Alabama's up probably around 24 to 14. Suddenly, Lane Kiffin rips off his uniform. Turns out he was a USC agent in disguise all along. He switches sides. Alabama's struck by confusion. They have no idea what to do. And from that point, they don't score anymore. And USC wins 31 to 24.
You act as if Nick Saban has not already thought of this contingency and has therefore, like, tethered Lane Kiffin to his, like, mortal soul.
I mean,
so if Lane Kiffin tries to betray him, he dies.
Saban is one letter away from Satan, so you never know what could happen. All right. Yeah, so that's my only way I see USC winning. So, yes, I predict USC to win in that particular scenario. Next up, you know what? I'm just going to skip forward because it looked like Elizabeth was getting bored there for a second. So we're going to go to UNC versus UGA. All right. So both of these teams have got a dominant run game and they're both bringing in new quarterbacks. UGA has actually decided to start freshman Eason.
Jacob Eason?
Yeah, that guy. And
Savior. The promised one.
Yeah. The champion of light. I mean, we're all Georgia Tech grads except for Elizabeth, who is a UNC grad. So we don't like Georgia very much. I think they're a very talented team. And I think since it's in the Georgia Dome, a lot of people are expecting them to win this game just based on the sheer talent. But that said, UNC was a very dominant team for much of the 2015 season. So what can we expect out of this matchup? And I will start with Elizabeth.
I think this is going to be a much higher scoring matchup than people expect. I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, Kirby Smart's a defensive guru. UNC's not going to score a lot on them. But, you know, UNC, I think, had the third most yards per play last season, brings back almost their entire receiving core, brings back almost their entire running back core. And Mitch Trubisky has been the backup quarterback for the last 2 years. He's come in and played a lot, and every time he's performed well, including times when, you know, he's had to come in. I think it was last season he had to come in a few times because our quarterback, Marquise, lost his helmet or something happened. And so he'd come in for one play, and almost every time he'd score a touchdown. And so, you know, he knows the offense. He could have transferred and probably gone pretty much anywhere, but he didn't. He stayed. And now, you know, he's kind of being hailed as the person who's going to take UNC to the New York Six Bowls, to the playoffs, what have you. And then, of course, you know, Georgia's got Jacob Eason, who is the true freshman wonder kid that's, you know, going to come and bring Georgia, kind of the same thing where, you know, take Georgia to the promised land.
Five-star Johnny Football. I've seen that show before.
Oh. Right, exactly.
It'll be an interesting matchup, but I'm not actually hearing a prediction here.
Oh, I mean, I think UNC is going to win just because I think UNC has more experience. Nick Chubb just coming back from an injury. You know, their entire running back core basically is coming back from an injury, which, you know, it's easy to say in practice, you know, they're looking great, they're doing great. But once they're back on the field for the first time, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with a lot of those players. And so I think that there's definitely some – there should probably be a little more concern than there currently is about the state of their offense from Georgia fans. I think UNC's offense is just really too good, and Gene Chizik has done a miraculous turnaround last year with the defense, and he can probably go so much further now that he has another year. And I honestly, you know, I've totally drunk the Kool-Aid for UNC.
Okay. Well, Andrew, it's time to see if you've learned anything. What are your...
I don't want to sleep on the couch, that's for sure. You know, my big thing is I think it's going to come down to the defenses. You know, we saw North Carolina's defense struggle last year with a Baylor run game. And you know Georgia's going to want to come out with Nick Chubb and Sony Michel and try to run the ball. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what North Carolina's defense can do in terms of trying to shut that down and get the ball back, that high-powered offense. And I kind of feel the same way about Georgia. Their defense is extremely young. Now, there's talent there, but they're very young. They don't have a lot of experience, and they're going to play a very talented offense in North Carolina. So I really think it's going to come down to which offense is able to make the stops and get the ball back to the high-powered offenses to win the game, you know. And then obviously, anytime you start a true freshman quarterback, you're going to have questions.
First game, bright light.
Yeah. You know, now it will be a Georgia home game, so I think it'll help them out a little bit. But, you know, it's still tough to go from what I've read wasn't the most competitive high school level of football out in Washington to playing under the lights in a big-time game.
Well, and also, I think UNC travels pretty well. Technically, it is a neutral site, so we'll see how that all plays out.
It's a neutral site in Atlanta that's 90 minutes away from Athens. It's not a neutral site at all.
Yeah, UNC returned tickets because we couldn't get enough interest because the prices were too high, and every single ticket that we returned has been purchased by Georgia fans.
Okay, way to prove me wrong, guys. I don't know.
Sorry, no, because we've heard a lot of, like, oh, it'll be evenly outmatched. It won't be.
Well, if Georgia Tech would buy all the tickets if we thought UGA would lose, it's a shame, though. No. All right, Tommy.
Yeah, I think North Carolina has a lot of questions on offense they got to figure out. But that being said, Fedora seems to know how to get his offense to work. I think they'll get their points against Georgia for precisely the reasons that Andrew pointed out, that they are young. It is a new scheme to them with Kirby Smart coming in and trying to play his way. And honestly, if Kirby does what Saban did, it's going to be a pretty technical defensive scheme, which could take some time to learn. On the defensive side for North Carolina, if Chizik knows what he's doing, I mean, he's played against Kirby Smart a couple times, but we'll see what he does there. If they can stop the run and force the true freshman in his first game to have to throw the ball and take the game in his hands, I think that's the only way they can have a chance. If they do that, I think North Carolina wins. But if they can't stop Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, it's not even going to be close. So overall, I'm going to have to pick Georgia as much as I hate to, just because I think losing Marquise Lee is going to be too much to overcome for North Carolina in this game.
Yeah. This is a tough one.
It is. This is probably one of the most evenly matched games that we're going to see. So I think it'll probably be one of the best games on that day, just because you'll be seeing two really good, evenly matched teams duking it out.
Yeah, my continual comment on this matchup is that whoever decides to pass the ball first, their team will forever blame the coach for making that call, because both these teams have just such solid running games. It's yeah. Like, why are you putting the risk out there that you could run into that issue?
Especially, I mean, USC is one of the best receiving cores and most experienced receiving cores in the country. You bring back, what is it, four seniors? It's an absurd number of seniors that we have on our receiving core.
And I think that might be the difference in the game itself, is the fact that they have that talented receiving core. It's going to come down to whether Eason can prove himself as a quarterback. But I think you're going to see a lot of Chubb getting the ball against a team that gave up, what, more than 600 rushing yards in their bowl game last year? And I think that's going to stick around in people's minds. I'm going to pick UNC to win the game. Don't give me. Anyway, yeah. So now I can't come over there anymore. Sorry, I guess I'm not going to make your house warming, Andrew. All right, next up, FSU and Ole Miss, the battle of the Tier 2 teams kind of out of the SEC and the ACC. FSU is kind of the team that everybody
views second tier. I'd say number two.
Yeah, I mean, them and Clemson have kind of been back and forth.
Yeah, I'd say they're still top tier, but right now they're number two.
You know, I mean, they're 3 years removed from a national title.
Well, terminology. That's like, they are the next best team in the ACC. And then some people still view Ole Miss as being the next best team in the SEC, even though LSU is out there, just because they somehow have this miraculous tendency to beat Alabama on a regular basis.
They also have Swaggy.
They might be the best paid team in the SEC.
Oh, they do have swag, and they do have players that smoke a lot of pot and get caught and jump out windows. Tommy, big matchup, interesting matchup. Who do you think is going to come out on top?
Yeah, so the key to this game is going to be DeAndre Francis, the new Florida State quarterback. If he comes in and he starts playing like everybody thinks he should, being pretty much the next Jameis Winston, then Florida State will win. They have a great defense that is going to limit what Chad Kelly can do on the other side. Now, granted, Ole Miss is going to score points. They have a lot of talent over there, and Chad Kelly knows how to run that offense well. But if Florida State has their next quarterback in Francis and he does a good job, I don't think Ole Miss can keep up. They also have this little guy named Dalvin Cook who is going to score points. So I'm going to have to pick Florida State in this one. I think it'll be a relatively high-scoring game, maybe a 34-28, something around there, 35-28.
They've got legs, and he knows how to use them.
Hey, don't speak too much of the song, we might get sued.
I mean, we were already getting sued from that African-American Knights comment, so, you know.
By the way, you can't get sued for singing a song because the artist only owns the rights to their performance of the song.
Oh, man.
That's not.
We're going to have a musical episode one time this season, then.
That's not technically. It's not technically true, but for the purposes of this podcast, we will say it is true.
No, it is technically true.
Well,
if you sing it, they can't sue you because they don't own the song in its entirety. They own their performance of the song. Trust me, I watched the Republican National Conference, and I know.
Yeah, but the CD companies own the actual song. It's complicated, Tommy.
As long as we don't play the song from the CD, we're fine.
I don't want... Okay, this is a football...
This is important, Andrew.
This is a football podcast. I'd like to remind everybody.
This is me trying to prove I'm right.
Okay, fine. I will resign for now, and we'll continue this conversation when we're not doing a podcast. All right, Andrew. Football. Talk about it.
Discuss.
Florida State.
I think Tommy was right. I think the quarterback of Florida State is really going to be the linchpin. He's going to be a young kid starting his first game, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles that. You know, he was a redshirt freshman, so he did spend last year learning the offense, so he at least has somewhat of an understanding of that. You know, the Florida State defense should be pretty good. It's going to be interesting to see what Chad Kelly and LSU can do, trying to replace a lot of guys on offense, losing Laquan Treadwell, the running backs, as well as Laramie Tunsil, the great left tackle, who I believe they're going to try to replace with a true freshman in Greg Little, which is going to be interesting to see if DeMarcus Walker or Josh Sweat or any of these really talented Florida State defensive linemen really try to take advantage of the true freshman left tackle. You know, that being said, I think Florida State's going to win, and I kind of think with Tommy where it might end up being a fairly high-scoring game.
All right, Elizabeth, do you share the same thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I think Florida State's just too good. I mean, they're listed as being, you know, they're having these discussions about Clemson and Florida State getting into the college football playoffs, so they're not really having as much with Ole Miss and Alabama. Because I think Florida State's just, you know, even with, you know, the redshirt freshman quarterback, they have Dalvin Cook. They have, you know, enough tools around him that they should be able to compensate for a lot of his inexperience.
Fair enough. But that's...
The same thing that UVA has. They can compensate for the inexperience of their quarterback.
I guess, gosh, I wanted to say that... on the strength of a couple of mysterious arrests that Ole Miss would suddenly win the game against Florida State. But I forgot, this game is in Orlando, so yeah. I guess I can't expect that to happen now. Dalvin Cook breaks his leg.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And then Ole Miss wins the game because Dalvin Cook broke his leg. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the only scenario I can come up with.
Depressing.
Very uncreative of you, too.
What, did you want me to go with, like, he donates his heart to a small child who's dying?
I mean, you could also go with this, the other side and say that the NCAA investigations against Ole Miss come to fruition and half the team suspended. Okay. Or, after faking his own funeral, a freak accident.
Okay, we are a football podcast. We are moving on. Believe it or not. Yeah, I know, Elizabeth. It's crazy, right?
Craziest thing is we just went like 3-0 ACC versus SEC.
It's happened before. It happened 2 years ago in the season games. We went ACC went 4-0.
Against SEC East teams there, right?
I mean, look, if the ACC is going to get crap for the Coastal, then the SEC gets crap for the East.
Well, yeah, they don't want to accept it, but that's the way it goes.
ACC beat up on the East because the West was too scared of them.
Yep. Coming at me.
They ain't played nobody, Paul.
That's our story, and we're sticking to it. Speaking of the SEC East, we've got Mizzou going against the Big – I still don't understand why they're in the Big 12 – going against West Virginia. So are we going to see some couches burned over there? I'm going to start with you, Andrew.
I think so. I think West Virginia wins this game. Missouri's really talented on defense, but their offense is – basically a dumpster fire, and I think West Virginia's got too much talent across the board. They got to replace a lot on defense, but West Virginia returns the majority of their offensive playmakers, and I think that Horgerson's a fairly talented offensive coach, and I think that's what's going to be, that they're going to be able to score enough points, especially at home, to beat a Missouri team that the offense is just not very good.
Okay. Even though Even though their coach no longer has cancer? Oh, my gosh.
Well, but they have a new coach.
Well, yeah, so he no longer has cancer. I'm just saying.
No, Logan, you're not wrong.
Well, we've gone to a very dark place. It sounds like Elizabeth echoes your thoughts, as last I checked.
Yeah, I mean, Mizzou's breaking in a new coach. They had a lot of turmoil, probably the polite word for it, last season. And, you know, I don't know if that turmoil is enough to recover from just by having a new coach. You know, their offense wasn't great. Their offense isn't going to be great. And, you know, West Virginia, despite the fact that geographically they might not fit in with the Big 12, their offense fits in just fine. And their defense also kind of fits in just fine, or lack of it, I should say. So I think West Virginia is going to probably roll right over Mizzou.
All right, Tommy, you got anything else? You got any different expectations coming out of this game?
Yeah, I think Missouri's going to win this, and I think it's because Missouri has a pretty solid defense. And, I mean, they have a good defense. And even though West Virginia has a solid O-line, which I think has four seniors on it, I just think that their defensive line is going to get pressure in the backfield early and often enough to throw West Virginia off their game. And then all they have to do is dink and dunk with Drew Locke just throwing little dinky passes around until they finally score a point and win. This is one of those games that I see ending up being, you know, 14-3 or 7-3 or something like that in the final. But I think Missouri is the one that wins this one.
Yeah, I've actually – so I'm totally going all over the place with my stupid little rule. But I actually think Mizzou is going to win this game on – the strength of their, like, actually think they're going to win this game. On strength of their defense. I think their defense is just solid. And as Elizabeth did point out, West Virginia's defense is tissue paper. So even though Mizzou had a terrible offense last year, they're getting most of those players back. They will have more experience. And I think they can put enough together to score on West Virginia. I can't say the same for West Virginia's offense, who their quarterback didn't do really well last year, even though he's returning. That said, I got to pick against them. West Virginia wins because the crowd gets rowdy and they hit the quarterback of Mizzou in the head with a beer bottle.
Entirely possible.
And knock him out for the game. And Mizzou is unable to recover.
Couches could be thrown.
I mean, you can throw a couch. It just requires a lot of people. It's hard to smuggle them in.
True.
I don't know. Have you ever tried smuggling something into West Virginia's stadium?
No, I can't say I've ever even been to Morgantown, West Virginia.
I hear they have a Whataburger, but that might be a lie.
Oh, man, I do love Whataburger.
Well, they're Big 12 school. Of course they have a Whataburger.
True.
All right, moving on. Still talking about – oh, no, it's no longer a Big 12 school. UCLA and Texas A&M.
I think it's UCLA. I think UCLA's got a better offense. You know, A&M's really solid and talented on defense, but they've got a lot of questions, especially at quarterback, where they're going to start – Mr. Katy Perry and Trevor Knight. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can kind of shake off whatever yips and issues he got at Oklahoma that kind of hurt him late in his career. They've got a great set of wide receivers, but beyond that, there's just a ton of questions for them on offense. You know, they should be pretty good on defense, but I think Josh Rosen, as well as the UCLA offense, is going to come into the game and be able to score some points. Now, whether or not UCLA can stop anybody is kind of be the next question. Statistically, they were terrible last year. So I think that's going to be kind of the issue, is a bad UCLA defense against a bad A&M offense. Which one can win that battle?
Yeah, I know I paused for a long time, but I was actually trying to think of something to say. So thank you for jumping in there. I do appreciate it because I just didn't know what to comment on this game.
There's one thing I'm good at. It's running my mouth.
All right.
Tommy, do you want to take it before I hand it over to Elizabeth?
Sure, yeah. I think this might be one of the most interesting matchups of the weekend. If you look at it, like Andrew said, UCLA has a bad defense, and A&M has a lot of questions on offense, so we really don't know what to expect there. And I think regardless of what happens in that game, it's not going to show us anything. But if you look at the other side, UCLA has a really good offense, and A&M has a really good defense. So it'll be really interesting to see who kind of wins that struggle between UCLA's O-line versus the front four terrors that A&M has. So it'll be really interesting there. I think Texas A&M wins that because I think UCLA's defense is just that bad. And I think Myles Garrett will get his sacks in there and kind of rattle Rose in like he hasn't been rattled in the past. So that's my prediction there.
All right. Well, Elizabeth.
Have fun.
Aw, that was sweet. And no one will know because this is a podcast. Elizabeth, I know how near and dear to your heart UCLA is. Why are you going to pick against them?
Why am I going to pick against UCLA? The answer is actually very easy. I'm terrified that Texas A&M is going to be terrible. They're going to fire Kevin Sumlin and then offer Larry Fedora an obscene amount of money to leave UNC and go to Texas A&M, where he will win a championship and get into the championship game. And UNC will once again be left with their former coach winning championships at a Texas school, and I'll have so many flashbacks. Mack Brown, you know. I need A&M to win just because I don't want them to come in and poach Larry Fedora from us.
Wow, and I thought we went to a dark place with Dalvin Cook breaking his leg and the coach having cancer. My gosh.
Don't understand.
And Hugh Freeze dying.
Don't understand. There's a lot of pain in history there with Texas schools poaching our coaches and then having those coaches win championships.
All right.
We didn't recover for a decade. More than a decade. Hell, it almost took us 20 years.
I mean, you did recover. Butch Davis just got caught cheating.
You're not wrong.
This is what happens when you hire James Black Santa Blake onto your staff.
This sounds like we need to have a whole, like, separate cast just for this topic. But for now, I'm going to say Texas A&M wins this matchup because I actually expect UCLA to win this matchup. Texas A&M, I mean, God, y'all made all the good points.
I think they will, but I have to have them win.
I mean,
you cannot have Kevin Sumlin fired.
All right, I will keep that in mind. I think UCLA will win. I think they've got a better defense than people are giving them credit for, and their offense is solid. And if I had done more research, I would have more to comment on, but that's what I'm going to stick with. All right, so the final game we've got listed, Notre Dame and Texas. We kind of went over this in our Big 12 prediction. Texas, we just don't know a lot about them. They're talented as all get out, but they're all so young, we don't know what to expect out of those players. And Notre Dame is a good team. A lot of people are picking them to win 9 or 10 games this year. I'll just make this a simple question, and I'll start with you, Tommy, because you're kind of tied to Notre Dame. Do you think Texas has a chance?
Absolutely, they have a chance. They have the talent to play with them. What I think happens is Notre Dame wins and wins big, and Texas fires another offensive coordinator. I think we see 3 quarterbacks instead of 2, and Texas continues to just puzzle everybody by being very indecisive and flippy-floppy on how they want to approach the offensive side of the ball. I think their defense plays well, like they did last year, but I think they get put in bad situations by the offense not being able to sustain drives or score points.
So let me get this straight. They have a chance, but they are going to lose horribly.
Yes.
Okay, as long as we're clear. Andrew, do you have the chance to take that wire out of your mouth and tell us why you think Texas is going to lose this matchup?
Well, they're my glasses. But, I think the game's going to be a lot closer than people think. I think the thing it's going to hinge on is the true freshman quarterback at Texas in Bichel. You know, I think that's going to be really Texas' question because, like Tommy said, they're extremely talented, but they're extremely young. It's going to be interesting to see how these young guys at Texas really handle this game. You know, and we're kind of in the Charlie Strong is somewhat coaching for his job type, because I think if he doesn't make a bowl game and show a lot of steps in the right direction, he's going to really be given a short leash and might lose his job. That being said, like we've said, is that Texas has a lot of talent. They're just extremely young. So I think if they can pull all of that together, they've got a chance to pull the upset. I don't think they do just because of that, but I think that it's going to be a lot closer of a game than people think.
All right. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by whatever the hell Tommy is showing us right now.
That was very distracting. I have no idea what you just said.
There was a midget being held up by another man to piss in the urinal. Anyway, Elizabeth, I didn't even hear what Andrew picked, honestly. I'm gonna have to listen back to that.
Notre Dame, I know that much, but I don't know why or for anything else. Sorry. Useless, I know.
Hey, I mean, it's just another example of you not listening to what I say.
So now you know our relationship's a successful one.
Exactly.
You know, once again, I'm going to pick Texas for purely self-interested reasons. I do not want them to fire Charlie Strong and poach Larry Fedora and then, you know, have all the nightmare scenario that I had. Also, but I also think that, you know, Texas is an incredibly talented team. I think they have a lot of, I don't know how to put it the best way, but I think they have a lot of good players that are just not there yet. And I think if it clicks this summer, if it clicked over the offseason, they could come out and really shock the world.
We're going to shock the world. Fab Five style. I like it. All right. Yeah, I'm going to pick Texas, too. I think the desperation that Charlie Strong has of that program, and I think the talent level of their players will somehow miraculously come through. Like, they'll just – it's like one of those Super Saiyan moments. They'll be down in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden they'll just, like, go crazy and score three touchdowns in a row and win the game. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Texas, unrealistically. All right, guys, I think we have covered every important game. I'm sure there are more I'm forgetting about because this is probably the most insane week of college football we've seen in a long time. Are there any matchups you guys know think that can think of that I'm forgetting about?
How about Arizona and BYU?
You really think Arizona?
Yeah, pretty good one.
You really think Arizona's going to be a good team? Okay, whatever. Y'all go for it.
I mean, I think BYU wins, but I think Arizona will probably be a pretty good team.
I definitely agree, and I think the matchup sets up to be pretty well.
It does, and I think that's one of the big games for BYU to win if they kind of want to set the tone of being competitive for the playoff.
Do you? So is this at BYU or at Arizona?
I believe it's at BYU.
No, it's at – the Cardinal Stadium.
So yeah, it's basically at Arizona.
I'm just saying, I don't have anything against it. I just am a little disappointed that you're making me pick Arizona to win a game here, Tommy. It's like you're doing this on purpose to me.
Fine. How about the battle of the two coolest football logos there is in Eastern Washington versus Washington State?
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this is another case of Washington State losing to an FCS program but still winning 9 games.
I think Eastern Michigan wins because they're too distracted by – Washington State's too distracted by their crazy-ass mascot.
That is the ugliest field in the history of college football. I don't know if you ever had the misfortune of watching an Eastern Washington game on television, but watching that field just makes me want to vomit.
Even more than the blue field at Boise State.
Yes. Like, the blue field's not as bad. Like, a red field is just a crime against humanity.
Oh, it's red and black, too. It's like,
I mean, so exactly. It's a double crime against humanity.
All right. Well, I think – I'm sure we could talk all day. There's more matchups to be had. But I'm going to go ahead and cut us off because this is getting ridiculous, and Elizabeth left, and we are done. All right. As always, thank you guys for listening out there. If you have any questions, feel free to send us a comment at toemeetsleather.net. Till next week, have a good time, and I'm so looking forward to the official start of college football. Andrew, you got any comments?
If anyone in our fantasy league listens to this, remember that Doug Baldwin is on the trade block.
Wow. Why did you even draft him? You know he sucked.
I didn't. I clicked draft player, and it picked Doug Baldwin. It did not pick the player that I had selected.
This is going in the outtakes. I just want you to know that.
I'm going to pick a kicker off waivers and then offer to trade him for Doug Baldwin.
I mean, if you include cash and a player to be named later, we might be able to make this work.
So if I give you Duke's defense?
I mean, I don't really know how that helps us in an NFL fantasy league, but maybe?
Yeah. Give him Eason. He's the golden child. All right. I'm going to hang up before this gets any stupider. Bye-bye, everybody.